Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
How do I even introduce this show? I don't even remember anymore. Where's my cantina? Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the f***ing cantina here on the Genreverse YouTube channel, Genreverse Podcast Network, available on all your favorite podcast apps like Spotify, Google, Apple, SoundCloud, things like that. I'm Kyle, joined by Cam, Shockey. You guys can also find our content here on the Genreverse YouTube channel, along with, in addition to podcasts like the Cantina and Daily Cog, reaction videos, anime reaction videos, trailer reactions. I did an unboxing today. Thank you very much, Crunchyroll, for the gift. And even live game streams. So if you're into watching that, I've been doing Final Fantasy VII Remake, doing a replay before Final Fantasy VII Rebirth hits in a month, just a little over a month. We do have merch, link for that in the description box below. Cute anime girl, Star Wars stuff, logos from the podcast, Tim Nardelli's Night Terror comic art available on shirts, mugs, notebooks, and whatnot. And of course, LRMonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, opinions, celebrity interviews, and more. I made it through. I'm spent. All right,
really quick, it's off topic for Star Wars, but the Final Fantasy VII, is that like part three of the original?
This is this is like the rest of disc one and part of disc two.
Okay.
Like a chunk of disc two.
So the other one that came out like what, a couple months ago, that remake that was not
a few years ago.
No. Yeah. There was another one that just came out a couple months ago, like with Cloud and Sephiroth.
Oh, Crisis Core.
Yeah, that's not
that's a prequel.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a prequel to the original. Crisis Core originally came out on PSP. Yeah. So, yeah.
These Final Fantasy games, man.
you think that's bad? You should see Kingdom Hearts. We do have a little bit of a Star Wars news to chit chat about this week. Something that I'm pretty much just gonna like stare blankly at the camera about. We have the trailer for the Bad Batch season 3. Shockey as the resident prequel era apologist and all around. No,
animation,
joking around.
Star Wars animation.
Star Wars animation fan. For sure. Tell us a little bit about the trailer and what you thought about it, man.
Yeah. So it's this trailer has kind of been in the works for a while. I think that like some of the other guys that I know, kind of in the Star Wars animation fandom loop, were expecting this to come out a little bit earlier than what it did. Executive producer and head writer, I believe her last name's Corbett, could be Corbett, Jennifer Corbett. She had been teasing it now for a little bit, you know, kind of messing with fans on X, formerly known as Twitter, that, you know, the trailer.
One day we're going to have to just start saying X no matter how stupid it is.
Well, and we could just say
But yeah, she's been kind of like teasing fans of Bad Batch for a while now, and you know, wondering if it's going to come out. And then there was a small kind of, I don't know if it was a leak or somebody, it wasn't one scoop or anything, said that the trailer was going to come out about 2-3 weeks ago, and it never did. And so I think everybody kind of got their hopes up with that, but it was finally this week we got to the trailer for the last season of The Bad Batch. It's got a lot of interesting parts into it. We've got the return of Asajj Ventress. I think that's kind of the big headliner from the from the trailer. Then we see Hunter.
Depends on your point of view.
Yeah, depends on your point of view. Okay.
Was that Cad Bane I saw? Looked like
Cad Bane's still around. Yeah.
Yep.
Because this is still before Mando. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Hunter and Wrecker are still doing their little commando missions. At the same time too, they're fighting the Empire, trying to it's kind of the little bit of everything that we get from there. And just it's the kind of the big I think tease for it is we get a little bit more of Emperor Palpatine and a couple lines there, kind of setting up what the whole purpose of the clones were / Omega, kind of seeing, are we going to get the end all to this whole storyline with the clones and Omega? What was the main purpose of it? Or was it just for fun? Emperor Palpatine just wanted to pay millions and millions of dollars for clones, and now he's done with them, and see y'all later and stuff. The episode list came out as well. So February 21st, we get three episodes, which is pretty much unheard of right now on Disney Plus or any streaming service that's going to go like on a regular schedule. So we're getting three episodes. So that's basically the first story arc, because with the previous Clone Wars episode style, is you get a three episode story arc and then it goes into the next one and the next one. And then we go basically
it's
one
always
episode.
Always like that in Bad Batch so far, though, mm-hmm. to be fair.
Yeah, true.
And sometimes just some proper standalones.
Yep. And then we get one episode February 28th, one episode March 6th, two episodes on March 13th. Don't know why. Then one episode, and then April 3rd, two episodes, and one episode, and finally finish out May 1st. Okay. And so this was unique because May the 4th for, past 4 years has really been like the staple for Star Wars animation. We got the last season of the Clone Wars on May 4th, kind of ending on there, and Bad Batch and everything. All kind of been, May 4th. So for this season to end May 1st, now what happens on May 4th? Because that's kind of been the animation, day for celebrating Star Wars. Okay. And some people are thinking
Acolyte
could come out. We could be getting Star Wars, Tales of the Jedi, second evolution of it.
Season two.
Yeah. One of those other things that, the godforsaken Star Wars droids that has never come to fruition. One of the many projects that is announced at Star Wars Celebration or, on Disney press days that doesn't come true, but who knows? But yeah, overall, I'm excited. It's one last two raw for the clones, it looks like, unless there's that almighty rumor Captain Rex or secondary clone show that they're talking about, or there's kind of someone in works after this, but who knows if that ever happens the way Lucasfilm works. So this is it for the Clone Wars fans. Enjoy it. I definitely will and be kind of done with it.
Cam, you're lukewarm on some of the animation stuff, and some later seasons of things, and I know that that pretty much encapsulates how you've felt about the Bad Batch in general, but what do you think about the Season 3 trailer, man?
I mean, it looks okay because the Bad Batch has always excelled, like all the animation does, and this just is my taste, as we all know, as the darker it goes. So every time the Bad Batch went dark, which primarily involves Crosshair, who is the best character in the show by far. He doesn't get a lot of screen time because the nature of him, but whenever they focus on him and his sort of situation, which we see a bit, in the trailer as well, he's in the same place Omega is, so I'm wondering, is he going to be in this a little bit more? Is he going to have some kind of redemption arc at the end? Because it kind of feels as if it's possibly going that way, in terms of, the way he's just been shafted by the Empire. So that could be interesting. And then kind of excited to in some ways to find out what the whole Omega thing, why they want her back, what that's all about as well. Wondering if it connects into Force Sensitive clones and the start of Palpatine's experiments that lead to the ill-advised return of Palpatine in the sequel trilogy. But
somehow he's returned.
But yeah, I'm hoping there's not, it's all darker, a bit edgier, and moving towards the finale rather than lots of little standalone episodes like the two that are left have to go and just do some missions for what's her face, you know, who's not been in it recently. I kind of miss Sid, who everybody hates. You know, but if she had to show up again just to spoil a few episodes and expand the runtime, that would piss me off. But you know, that's how these shows work sometimes. But you know, you have hope, shall we say.
I guess while I'm sitting here and people are coping with me messing with the camera, I didn't get a very good focus. Asajj Ventress back, causing some controversy enough for people to have to come out and comment on canon. Cam, yeah. What's that about?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously Asajj Ventress returns, but doesn't really work with the timeline because in the novel, Star Wars, I believe it was Dark Disciple.
Dark Disciple.
Then she actually is killed, but as many fans have pointed out, I think it's Obi-Wan or another Jedi, some of the Jedi, because this is still in the Clone Wars at this point, take her to the, like, what's the name of the planet that the Night Sisters
Dathomir.
Are on? Yeah. And she gets put into the water and stuff like that, and it's all grown green and stuff. So there's kind of always been a hint of, based in the Night Sisters, have got this resurrection power that she could come back in some way because of that. But you know, I can't remember, it was one of the executive producers anyway, not necessarily the showrunner, had come out and said, just to confirm that we are following that book. It's not that we've retconned the end of Asajj Ventress in this Dark Disciple book, so they are going to follow that. And, you know, I guess that might appease some fans. Some fans will feel that that was a better way for her to have just ended at that point, although I guess for fans that have seen her in the Clone Wars and been following it, they never got to see her end anyway because it was only covered in a book. So, yeah. You know, it doesn't matter that much to them. Though they might not also know why she's running about with yellow lightsabers, doesn't look very evil anymore. I mean, she's just had a relationship with a Jedi, I think,
Quinlan.
In the book.
Yep, Quinlan Voss.
Killed or something like that. So, yeah. So, you know, there was a lot of...
You know, yellow allegedly stood for, like, Guardians or something like that?
Yeah.
In the stupid idea people had to start making the colors freaking matter. God,
well,
I hate you, Lucas, for
that crap. There was an element of that. That was the guards in the temple at one point they had, but then, like, Rey had it at the end of Skywalker. So yeah. Now I kind of just don't know. I think it's whatever.
It doesn't matter. Cool. Having the colors weird meanings was so stupid. It's so childish.
They should have just did what they did in the EU, which was there was just different colors depending on the crystals you have. So if you found an orange crystal, you had an orange lightsaber. The only ones that were different were the red ones because they were synthetic and not natural. It was just easy then you can have any colors you want, but they didn't go down that route.
No, they freaking George.
Some people on social media are theorizing that that lightsaber is actually Quinlan Voss's lightsaber. And so,
I mean, it could be. Yeah, it could be.
Could be.
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean, it's I'm happy for those that are getting something out of it. It's, you know, the animation, you don't hear the hate on it in general that you do with, you know, live action stuff. So people are just like, the animation is either for them or it's not. Now, that's not to say those that are into the animation don't, you know, have the normal arguments that fandoms do, but you don't have, like,
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You don't have the division that you have with the live action stuff where, you know, OT versus PT.
There's
people that unironically say they think the prequel trilogy is better, and I'm just like, God, you guys are the worst. So I'm happy when Star Wars is doing good, because that means there's a chance at more Star Wars in the future, which I might not actually be so happy about these days.
Just reminds me, there's something that you'll like. I showed you, Kyle, where somebody had said they had consumed something like 400 hours
of Star Wars
content, but never watched the original trilogy.
The original, like, oh my God, how does that even
happen? That just gives me the fear. What are you doing? You know, I just, why would you not do that?
I mean, there's a lot, yeah, I mean.
Why would you go, I just won't watch those original ones. I'll just ignore them, but everything else I love, but I won't even try them. It just makes no sense.
I wouldn't be surprised if
the person was telling the truth. It might have just been a lie.
But no, I wouldn't be surprised if there were some people that just only watched maybe the Clone Wars animated, you know, and that was it. And
maybe that would be awful.
Yeah, but like once they've started progressing to the other films,
I know.
You'd at least say, well, let's go and like see somehow, what happened in the middle. You know, I've watched the prequels, I've watched the sequels, but I don't want to watch the one in the middle.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I get it. I like Shaki said, I'm sure there's probably someone out there that is like that. I don't get it.
There's someone out there like everything you can think of. That's the thing. If you can think of it, there's someone out there like.
Think of it like this. Yeah, think of it like this. Like, you got kids these days, or in, you know, even teenagers, who've grown up with different versions of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles versus us,
this
who like the early 90s Turtles, you know, the original concept. So I think it's rarer that you're going to see somebody not have seen the original trilogy. I wouldn't be shocked if there are people out there that maybe only watch the animated series, only watch maybe the sequel trilogy, you know,
The only logic gap I would put in there is the fact that, you know, in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles examples, the reboots, the reimaginings, you know, but it's the same story. But Star Wars is one of those few franchises that is actually one continuous story, supposed to be. It's all connected.
Yeah. I mean, that's a valid point. I do have some issues with some of the reboots. I didn't like Rise of the TMNT.
Yeah.
The latest cartoon that was on television a few years ago. I am Mutant Mayhem. The idea, spoiler alert, guys, but the idea of the turtles unmasking themselves, going to school and stuff, I don't like that. There's certain character traits that are key to the turtle. What's that?
The turtles.
The turtles go to school. Yeah, exactly, Cam. Exactly. There are certain things that are core to what make the turtles the turtles.
Nickelodeon, man. That's what they.
And
people in this century.
That's a Seth Rogen thing, honestly. I think he wrote it. And at the end of the day, there were certain things that they've done in different variations that I didn't like. That being one of them, because that really upsets with what the turtles are. Yeah. Anyways, this is a Star Wars show. I could talk.
Think of other franchises too.
Ninja Turtles all the time.
Power Rangers, even Star Trek.
Yeah.
You've got people who've only, like Star Trek, only people watch Next Generation. Yeah.
Next Generation.
Not the original and stuff
that's
like that.
True.
So.
That's true. Yeah, you will find that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got to, you know, since we're on a nice little nostalgic trip for what people like and don't like in Star Wars, I got to go to this really awesome toy store in my area, and it was like there's a whole segment of basically walking down like 1990s Star Wars toy aisle. Like they must have picked up like lots of these toys unsold or something like that. They're all still in the boxes. They're pristine.
A lot of them were the Power of the Force set, which were really unpopular because the character models
what
were
I'm
like,
saying.
Like they made Luke Skywalker
super
buff and all
muscles on
I remember back then fans were like,
but those were the big sellers. I know there was people that weren't very happy with them, but I had all of those freaking toys because those were the
and
toys
remember, that was
available.
And they'll become
but remember too with the Power of the Force is that was the relaunch of the old X-Wing, the old Millennium Falcon and stuff like that. So like for me who was a kid during that era, like that was my opportunity to have the toys that, you know, the people that grew up with the original trilogy were able to buy from Hasbro. So the like those were big sellers. But yeah, seeing Luke, you know, flexing the muscles and stuff like that,
they're on the screen right now is, you know, buff Lando and stuff like
awesome.
That.
I still remember the original ones that had the little lightsabers that stuck out the arms.
Stuck out the hand. They weren't even matching colors because colors don't matter.
Well, and then they broke off. So then you would have to get a toothpick and color it and put the toothpick in there. Yep.
I loved walking through that, and this store was really, really awesome out in Virginia Beach. It's called Toy Meister, and there's like an antique mall. I suggest people check it out. It's really, really cool if you live in anywhere near Virginia Beach. It wasn't just Star Wars. I mean, Marvel, DC, like everything. There was a Ninja Turtles section of Ghostbuster. They had the old Kenner Ghostbuster toys and stuff like that. And one of the things that I realize is this you know, antique mall / collectibles store, because downstairs is like legit antique stuff like World War I military shit and whatnot. There's more Star Wars stuff there in that one little corner than you get at any toy store right now. Like Star Wars toys is a desert, man. Toys in general seems to be going that way, but never in my
life. It's a lot more expensive, right?
They're not any Star Wars.
Oh my God. There's nothing Star Wars. You've got the lightsaber stuff. You'll have a handful of toys that have been on shelves for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then maybe if a show just hit, some Black Series box, like four or five of them from
those ones will still sell
because
the collectors still pick up the Black Series ones.
But
the adult collectors will still pick them up. But
but they're expensive, man. Oh. I mean, you're not having a little kid pick up
toys.
There's not little kids picking up Black Series boxes because those are $45. You know, yeah.
The standard ranges they have now in figures are so cheap and nasty that I don't think kids even want them. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and that's another thing. Like, I've picked up a few, action figures and Power Ranger stuff, even Transformers, and definitely like even the ones that are articulate have more, you know, articulation. Mm-hmm. And a little bit more detail, they feel cheaper than what we used to have for sure. So while they might have better detail, they're still feel like they're made cheaper than the figures we used to play with when we were kids. But it, you know, those toys, those exact freaking Star Wars figures, man, I used to do all sorts of I don't know if you'd call it role play, but, you know, play with them, like come up with new scenarios and things like that.
Yeah.
And like my son does the same with Lego, but that's it. Like he has no other action figures, man. He just comes up with his Lego stuff. And that's because even the things,
action figures.
Yeah.
Even the things that he's into though, there's just either no toys or they're just crap. You know what I'm saying? Like after he got out of the like young kid toys and the play sets and stuff, like there's no in between from the crap to the collectible stuff,
right,
man. And that hurts my heart.
My son gravitated towards more collectible stuff really early because he didn't want those cheap crappy toys. So I had to always look for this either older stuff that was better quality of the things he was looking for, or like the more collector's types items, you know, bidding for things on eBay to get them from, you know, second hand and all that, to build up his collection, because they don't do stuff like that anymore for young kids.
Yeah. I didn't take any. Oh, go ahead, Shocky.
I was just going to say, it seems like that transition, that middle, has been taken over by Legos. Like, Legos is kind of taken over as being the from the cheap toys to the going to collectors. You go buy a Lego set of whatever, you know, either a IP ship or exists, and boom, you know, you make that, you have it around, and then once you're done, you break it down, put it in a box, and you know sell it, whatever.
Kids like me, I never liked Lego. I like my figures and things. I wanted really realistic looking figures to play with, like Kyle's saying, to make up my own games and stuff like that.
I agree with you.
The Lego to start that. So
I'm with you. I'm you know, down the same way. Yeah.
There's plenty of kids out there, but they're not really appealing to some of them at the moment, I don't think.
Yeah. I think just Lego is killing it right now with all, like, because they do every 3 months they do a new kind of set that they're going to release, and it's some massive ship, some character. And
adult Lego, now. Adult Lego. Sorry, there is no S. I didn't take any pictures of them, but they also had a large like video and DVD VHS collections up in the toy area, and I found the old gold and silver VHS box sets of the special DLC edition, the original special editions from 1997, right?
Golden black set, yeah.
Yeah, because you were just not smart enough to use widescreen cam. Is that what it is? You thought you were just
was
better
it, or
having
was it silver having that was a widescreen.
Silver was widescreen. Yeah. Oh, okay. Look at you, fancy.
I have gold.
See, the reason is that I have a widescreen TV, and when I bought a widescreen TV, I then wanted the widescreen set, because why wouldn't you do that? And since Star Wars were my favorite films, and I had all the versions that were ever released
black bars
on VHS.
Because the widescreen TV format is still different than theatrical format.
Yep.
I know, but that was all you could get at the time.
Right, right. That is one thing I have never understood, is why can't we just merge the damn formats? Why can't all television and all movies just come in 16:9 now? Period. Forever and ever. No, I know there's even some that are even thinner but wider for cinema. I forget, what is cinema's actual ratio? Anyways, this isn't a tech channel.
It's way better than anything.
Asking the wrong guy.
What I was gonna say is so I saw those. They had those episode one gift boxes where it was like the movie and there was like a book and some other. Yeah, they had a whole bunch of those and whatnot. What do you when I want to watch the original trilogy, I pop out my DVDs, the one and only set of DVDs that has the original theatrical cuts. And if I'm not mistaken, it's Laserdisc rips.
Yep.
That's how I watch the original trilogy. How do you watch the original trilogy, Mike?
Oh, hold on. Cam, let Cam go, because I'll show you how I watch the original trilogy.
All right, Cam, how do you watch your OT?
So I have the Blu-ray box set. So I guess it would either be that, or these days, since I'm a Disney Plus subscriber and the quality's not too, it's not as good as if I had the 4K editions. I don't have 4K editions, I've only got Blu-ray, so I actually watching it in Disney Plus is just as good. But I don't watch the first one on Disney Plus, I wouldn't, because there's a couple of things in it that they changed even again for the Disney Plus station, like
changed,
the McClunky thing. The McClunky
again,
thing
changed,
does my nut
again.
In. McClunky!
Oh my god, George, you
my
asshole!
You know, I can't be doing with that. Other than that, yeah, that's it. I don't own any of the.
You don't miss the theatrical,
they might
man?
Be up my parents' loft, the old VHSs, but they're all worn out anyway, so I don't actually have them on a disc in any other way.
You know, with a little bit of internet know-how, since you have purchased the original trilogy many, many times in your lifetime, I don't think anyone would question you if you chose to, not saying you have, you would, or did, to choose to acquire the despecialized version, which is someone
I know what it is. I would
maybe
acquire such a thing just for the memories of when my brain
what
just
it was
gets
like
to a point where I can't
unaltered.
Remember what the old ones were like anymore. But I kind of feel like it's
I almost
so
can't remember the
my
changes.
Brain.
I'd watch a whole new movie.
Because I instinctively I know every frame, every musical change. I know what scene I'm in just by the music that's playing, like, without even looking at it these days with the original trilogy. So I know all the changes and which ones I like best and which one I don't. And there's no perfect version out there that has all the things that I like personally. I would love to be able to know how to, like, edit movies together myself, get all the versions and put together my favorite version of them.
The ultra cut. Yeah.
Too much hard work. Yeah.
There's like that person
the cam cut.
I think someone took the sequel trilogy and cut it down to like 3 hours. Yeah. Or not sequels, prequels.
Prequels, I've seen that.
And cut it down to like three hours, the whole thing. You know,
but what you can do in PCs.
Still about two hours. It's not that hard if you're good at that stuff.
You could do it.
Shocking.
I could.
How do you watch your
I legit trilogy? Have a VHS player still for this right here. The 15-year anniversary one. VHS Fox Video.
With the little, like, bumper, like, interviews and stuff in front of the movies?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. That's the only...
I'm going to put your big screen so I can see this bit.
Oh, nice.
See, I don't think they sold that version in
UK was the 15-year anniversary.
It's because you guys don't have Freedom, Cam. Yeah, it's because you guys don't have
Freedom. Freedom's right here, guys. Right there. Yeah,
those are nice.
It's the only reason why I still have a VHS.
Those weren't the ones I was thinking of, but those are nice.
So, good old Star Wars right here, the original. Mm. So
hold that back up again. Hold that back up. Is he not rewound the tape?
Because I believe I stopped it right before.
In my generation, that's just a sin. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Listen, this ain't Blockbuster, okay? I can stop it whenever I want, put it up, bring it back, and start it. We don't have to watch it all at
once.
To take care of those,
do you have an actual rewinding deck? Like the one that does the rewind?
Okay, because,
it's
never
funny.
Trust the VHS player to rewind it. You only plays once, and then I'll put it in the rewinder and stuff. But I have to get it out of the closet and stuff, everything. So that's why it's not rewound, because I'll put it on, watch it for a little bit, and I'll stop it and stuff. But, like, the quality is complete garbage, you know, compared to what we have, like, you know, now.
Dude, magnetic tape.
Yes, it's amazing.
People are, like, cassette tapes are trying to do this thing that you know, records that vinyl have done. Mm-hmm. And people are about cassettes, and I'm like, you do understand that magnetic tape is one of the worst media formats ever created, and that the quality is shit. Like, you can't even fake, like, the people that are like, oh, vinyl's like the greatest sound there is, it's the closest thing to real sound. Do you hear that fuzzy air and what? No, you're hearing background noise. It is not the greatest there is. You are hearing actual distortion and noise. Stop it. But that's fine. You can like it.
Yeah, you can like it, but
I'm saying it's not better. Yeah. It's not objectively as far as quality and actual sound recording better, but magnetic tape is trash and it's all going to fade away. And that is scary.
Yeah.
That is scary.
So, like, this was, there you go. This right here was kind of my real introduction to Star Wars.
Yeah.
Cause we had it on Betamax, right? We had it on
like a Betamax.
Betamax was the superior format, but it failed.
It fell through. And so when I was a young kid, I remember watching it here and there on Betamax. And then, of course, it went away. And there was a couple years I didn't have it. And I don't think it was FYE or something. It was something older than that. I don't think they're still around. But, you know, they sold, you know, VHS tapes and stuff. And they
Suncoast.
It probably was Suncoast or so. Or maybe it was Best Buy, right? And it's like, like original days and stuff, and they had this for sale, and I wanted actually just Return of the Jedi, but they didn't have it, and my dad was like, well, let's just get the trilogy set and you can watch all three. So boom, got it, put on, I remember, went home that night and put on A New Hope, watched it. I think it was like 1 o'clock in the morning when I finished it, you know. And that, you know, the next day was Empire Strikes Back, and then the following day Return of the Jedi, and then I think I think these VHS tapes have gone through at least a minimum of, yeah, of like 200 times. But I've taken care of them. I mean, it's like my little treasured possession right there.
I think if I could go back and if we could get high definition scans of the original special edition, the 97 re-releases, I wouldn't mind that. I hate the musical number. I hate Han and Greedo. But the cleanup that they did and in the theaters.
I hated the Han Jabba scene. I really didn't like that.
You know, but all of the changes. Yeah, all of the changes after, though, pretty much, though, for the most part, just suck ass. Yeah. Like, they're awful. They get worse and worse. I'll never forgive George freaking Anakin. Like, if you wanted Hayden Christensen, I like your idea, Cam. They should have aged him up. If they wanted to use him in the first one, put him in old man makeup. But just go. Why not go in and change it one more time, and use him as he is now, older? Yeah. Because it totally ruins the idea that he dies as Anakin versus dying as freaking Vader. I hate you, George Lucas. God damn it, you piss me off.
Always a good deal on that one. Always a good. And that's the thing why I was always would love to be able to have the tape to put it together in as good quality as was from all the different versions and put the perfect versions together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then say to people, that's, there you go. Have that one. And I think a lot of Star people Wars.
I think I think for me the best version of the special editions with all the extra was Empire Strikes Back. I think it had the least amount of extras added to it, but it just had it just enough that made it just a little bit better. Just kind of.
And I don't think seeing the Wampa, like people, seeing the monster takes away from the fear. I was never afraid to begin with. Right. I like seeing the Wampa. Like, show us the monster. Show us the monster. That's fine. It's not Jaws, people.
Right. And it's, it cleaned up the Battle of Hoth a little bit, technology wise.
Like,
and then,
you could see through the.
You can still see through
all that.
They made it look better.
Made it look better, right? Yeah.
See through. Uh-huh. I'll tell you what's rough as we wrap this up. I got the 4K editions of Ghostbusters 1 and 2 and 4K Ultra HD. And. You want to talk about some see-through compositing? Holy crap, man. Stay Puffed is just straight transparent.
Yep.
The movie looks great. Like, everything looks amazing, but, like, you can even see scenes and makeup stuff. Oh, man, it's like,
Because the film's such a great, that you know, when you 4K an old film, the actual footage of the real actors always looks
4K. Exactly. It's infinitely scalable.
You used to be able to get away with, can't get away at that level of clarity, you know. Just accept that in these old films. It's part of the charm after a while, wasn't it?
Yes, it is. It did not upset me. It was just kind of shocked because I had Blu-ray versions, and it's that difference between...
Right.
4K and even 1080p fully uncompressed, which, by the way, guys, a physical copy of something on Blu-ray will look better in general than something even 4K on most people's internet connections. So
don't find that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't pay for 4K if you don't have scale to.
It as well. You know,
you run into bit rate issues.
Yep, that's it. Mm-hmm. Most people don't pay for high speed internet that would really justify, you know,
there's
having
gonna
a 4K.
There's going to be a bottleneck either on the servers themselves,
correct.
On your ISP, inside your home, inside your
device
somewhere.
Yeah, constraints. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, guys, this was a fun little conversation.
It was. I liked it.
Walk down memory lane after some cartoon talk. Yeah. Yeah. You guys can check out more stuff like this and other podcasts on the Genreverse YouTube channel, Genreverse Podcast Network, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Give us a follow, subscribe on the YouTube channel, leave comments, let us know what we're doing well, what we're doing awful. We would love to hear from you guys. We do have merch. That link is in the description box below. And of course, these stories that we talked about today and more available at lrmonline.com. We've got other channels, Genreverse Clips, to get bite-sized morsels of the shows and reactions, and of course, Genreverse Sports. Cam's heading that up where he talks soccer, football, with some other guys, and it's really cool. So yeah, check that out. Shockey, why don't you tell them how they might be able to write for LRM online?
Yeah, if you want to contribute to LRM, you got a, you know, an opinion about something, you got a, you want your voice heard, shoot me an email to michael@lrmonline.com, and you know, get in touch and start, you know, feeling out like what topics you want to talk about in it. But we're kind of an open forum. We're open to not, it doesn't have to be Star Wars. It can be Star Trek. It can be any, really much anything you want to talk about. So shoot me an email and we'll be more than welcome to have you up on, join on board.
Cam, anything else you want to throw out there?
No, I think you've both covered everything that we do are looking for adamantly. So, all right, guys. I don't know why I said adamantly. Apologies.
We'll see you next week. May the Force be with you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.